I pray this morning that's your prayer. That you would pray, holy fire, burn away everything that's in me that is of me, that I can be about Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said it best, and you've heard me quote him numerous times, but I love when he saw Jesus, heard of Jesus and what was going on, and he knew who he was. He said this statement. He said, I must decrease so that he can increase. I must decrease so that he can increase. And I pray that we understand that concept. And I pray that as we look at the message today, that in order for us to see the fire of God reignited, or for some of you, ignited for the very first time in our lives today, we're going to have to decrease and die to ourselves. Because we live in a church age, we live in a time, unfortunately, where when you see someone who's fired up about Jesus, most of the time what the religious people do is they try to tone that person down. Instead of trying to properly teach that person that zeal is great, but we know Scripture says zeal without knowledge is useless, what we do, instead of giving them the knowledge to go along with their excitement, we just say, don't be so excited. Now, I don't know about you, when I realized the depth of my depravity and how far I was away from God and the fact that I could never be rescued from my own sin and that God loved me so much that He came to this earth to die in my place to rescue me from sin, I can't help but get excited. I can't help but get fired up. Y'all remember a day, some of you do, when the church would get excited about somebody who was fired up about Jesus? Y'all would tell them, well, you're an evangelist, you need to travel around. No, that's not the case. I'm going to show you today that the Apostle Paul tells us that we ought to never be lacking in that kind of zeal. That we ought to see that enthusiastic Christian attitude in our lives daily. Because here's the thing, a lot of you yesterday, you got pretty enthusiastic about a preseason football game. And you'll get excited about watching third and fourth string people play football. Who most of them aren't even going to make the team. But you got an excuse to shout about something. Hang out with your friends. Can I say this to you? These are your closest friends you'll ever have, because the bond that you have with these people, hey, the bond that you have with these people was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. So long after the headache's gone from the Texan party, and you know what I mean, and I didn't spy on your party, but I didn't just crawl out from a rock this morning. Long after that's gone, let me tell you what, the people of God and the power of God will still be here for you. And here's the thing, we as Christians have to understand, America, it is time we get fired up. Listen, fired up is not woo-woo. It's time we get fired up. It's time we see what Jesus Christ has done for us and that we come to that realization. And that is the very thing that propels us to excitement, that propels us to enthusiasm. People ask me all the time, preacher, are you mad? You're screaming up there. I'm not mad. I'm excited. I'm excited because guess what? For whatever reason in the world, and I believe this, for whatever reason in the world, God called this little preacher out of his sin and out of himself, and he called me to be a preacher in these last days of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm excited about that. What an honor, Father, that you would trust me with something so precious. So I take it seriously. And if I can't take it seriously, I'm sorry, I'm going to take it seriously anyways. The Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 12, is going to talk to us about something he's going to call spiritual fervor. Spiritual fervor. I'm going to help you in the English to understand what that means, because oftentimes we lose a little in our translation, and that's normal with our language, because our language is very lazy, ain't it? So the thing is, as we look at this, I want you to understand something about what Paul is going to refer to today as spiritual fervor. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Everybody there? Pages are still turning. I'll wait. What are you highlighters? You're going to highlight, put a note beside it, so when you go back to it, you know why you highlighted it. He says this. I'm going to read the start of verse 9 just because I love what verse 9 says. He said, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Man, we could stop right there and just preach a whole sermon on that one little phrase. Honor one another above yourselves. Number 11. He says this. Never be lacking in zeal. Now, this is an apostle commanding the church. Now, listen, if he were to command the church to do that today, they would tell him, you just need to simmer down a little bit. Listen, I was the guy who, when God called me to preach and God saved me, it was real to me, and it's all that I have, and without it, I have nothing. So I went into these churches on staff thinking everybody's going to be fired up like me, and you know what I found out? That is not the case. I went into these churches and found out these folks' wood is wet. They're not fired up about anything. They have forgotten the fact that Jesus Christ died for them. So I said this to God. God, am I the one who's wrong? Because I would have preachers, well-meaning preachers, tell me things like this. That was a good word, brother, but you need to calm down a little bit. You're going to push people away. Okay. So I thought, well, that must be the thing to do. And you know what? I just couldn't calm down about it. So what I realized is I needed to stay away from people who told me I can't be fired up about Jesus. Have you ever noticed that the religious people always want to put your fire out when you get pumped up about Jesus? They're afraid you're going to go full-blown charismatic. Not okay. But if they would take the Word of God and they would say this, in the Word of God, charismatic is not a bad word. In the Word of God, being excited is not a bad thing. And here's why. Now, are there boundaries to this? Yeah, I'm not going to run around the room waving a flag to draw attention to myself. I'm not going to make up some hocus pocus and tell you it's God just so it will be exciting. But I'll tell you this. I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if you can't get excited about that, you don't know Him. Because that's what the apostles did. And the same apostle who said, if I preach anything other than the gospel, then I'm wasting my breath and I'm wasting your time. He says this, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. I said I was going to tell you what that meant. Spiritual fervor. A spiritual, watch this, boiling. That's what it means. A spiritual boiling. He said, keep your fire going. Keep your spiritual fervor, your enthusiasm for Christ, your zeal for what God is doing, your excitement over the gospel. Listen, we can fall into a trap here. Listen to me, Key Life, because it's commonplace that people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ here. Number one, because we preach Jesus, and number two, we allow the Holy Spirit to do His job. So it's commonplace, but listen, don't take that for granted. It ought to excite you no matter how many times you see that sinner walk down this aisle and bow their head before a holy God in shame at that moment. It ought to excite you when they turn around and the shame is gone because Jesus Christ has lifted their guilt and their shame and He's cleansed them from head to toe, inside and out. And I learned real quick in churches, man, you were wrong if you got excited about that. I remember my first Baptist baptism on staff at a church. I did this. Woo! Everybody said. I was too dumb. I didn't know I wasn't allowed to do that. And I wasn't allowed to do that because if I got excited about Jesus, somebody else might get excited about Jesus. And then if we got excited about Him, somebody might think we're fanatical about Him. Let me tell you something. There are people right now, did it just yesterday in Turkey if you watch the news, who will strap bombs to themselves and blow a bunch of people up because they're excited about their religion. And Jesus doesn't ask any of you to strap bombs to yourself and run into a building and blow innocent people up. What He does, He says, here, I'm giving you new life. Now live like you are excited and appreciate the new life that I've given you. Paul says, never be lacking in that boiling from the Spirit. Why? Why does he say these things? He's obviously telling them something. He says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. And that's where the charismatics mess up. They have excitement. So they can draw attention to themselves. He says, never lack in zeal and spiritual fervor and direct that toward serving the Lord. Your excitement ought to be directed toward your service to God. Amen. Not to the attention that you can draw. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. How are you going to do these things? You're not going to do these things if you don't have spiritual fervor. That's why he put that first. He goes on and he says, bless those who persecute you. I promise, if you're not on fire for Jesus, when someone persecutes you, you're not going to bless them. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. I promise you this, if you're not on fire for Jesus, you're not going to rejoice with those who rejoice. You're going to be jealous that they're rejoicing and you're over there whining. Mourn with those who mourn. Oh, you can't be compassionate to someone if you're not on fire for Jesus because you're still worried about you. You're not worried about them. Live in harmony with one another. Uh-oh. I promise you, you're not on fire for Jesus. You're going to have a hard time living in harmony with everybody else because here's what's going to happen. The first time you see a fault in somebody, you're going to hold that fault against them. You know what? I don't hold faults against people. You know why? Because I'm thankful Jesus doesn't hold faults against me. You say, well, you do that easily. No, I don't do that easily. I pray, Lord, let your fire be so strong in me, your spiritual fervor, that I ignore that thing, that I just walk in an attitude of forgiveness. And let me tell you what I'm not doing. I'm not saying, hey, look at me. I got it all figured out. It's taken a while to learn that. Because I promise you, it's just as easy for me to hold a grudge as it is for you. That's why I have to die to me. We're going to talk about that more in a second. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. I did not serve on those church staffs. Be willing to associate with people of low position. People who do not benefit you in one single way, other than the fact that they are brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't matter how much money they have in their pocket, how much they stink. Or if you're from the South, stank with an A and K. It doesn't matter if they have the same hygiene principles as you. He said, you have to, and you will if you're not lacking in spiritual fervor. You'll put those things aside, and you'll say, Lord, please plug my nostrils when I have to deal with some stinky folk. Because I promise you, if you do mission work anywhere else in the world, folks stink. Anybody ever been there? They don't have deodorant. Mine doesn't work half the time, but they don't have it. So you have to understand what he's saying. He's saying it is our spiritual fervor. It is that boiling for the gospel of Jesus Christ that's going to allow us to do those things that are humanly impossible. He's going to tell us why. What verse was I on? 16. Somebody's paying attention. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Don't be arrogant. www.yourname.com ministries. That's about you. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I love that he worded it like that. He said, as far as it depends on you. Now, let me just tell you this. There are many of you, you try to live at peace with someone in your life, maybe a family member, maybe a close friend, and they're just not having it. That's not on you, that's on them. He said, as far as you're concerned, you live at peace with everyone as it depends on you, meaning you don't be that person who causes the rift or who continues the rift. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Saying, when that person comes to persecute you, love him. Love him. When that person comes to persecute you, love him. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I want to talk to you, American church, it is time to get fired up. Why? Because indifference is one of our greatest problems. Indifference is one of our greatest problems. The American church, I don't care attitude. The American church, as long as I'm okay, then I'm not concerned about anything else. It's easy to fall into that rut, isn't it? How many of you drove your car to church today? Have air conditioner in it, too. It's nice, wasn't it? How many of you got up today and you had to decide which clothing you were going to put on because you had so much to choose from, you had to actively make a decision? And then what you did, you had this decision to make, what do I eat for breakfast? And so it's easy when we have all of the things that we have, to be indifferent. Because here's what happened. You got up. Your wife said, "Honey, what do you want to wear to church today?" Maybe. She might have been so busy wiping kids' noses in other places that she couldn't do that. Maybe she did. "What do you want to wear?" "You said this." "I don't care." "Y'all know I don't care, because I don't know how much I wear this shirt, but it's nice and cool." "I don't care." "Well, what do you want for breakfast?" "Huh, it doesn't matter." We have indifferent attitudes in this country about everything. Y'all ever been in this dilemma when you and your buddies are going to lunch? "What do y'all want to eat?" "I don't know. I don't care." "Whatever you want." "Nah, whatever you want. I don't care." Huh? We have been so overwhelmed with choices that we've become indifferent about everything. Here's the thing. In the church, our choices are limited. You're either A, born again, or you're B, lost, and in fear and on your way to judgment and hell apart from Jesus Christ, wrapped up in your sin. And that's one of two options as far as are you a believer or are you not a believer. Now, here's the thing. As a believer, how many of you say, I'm group number one. I'm group number one. I know that Jesus has saved me. I'm talking about enthusiasm. You ought to throw your hands up. I know Jesus has saved me. There's no doubt about it. Now you're going to fall into some other categories. You're going to be the majority, which is indifferent in the American church. Or you're going to be the minority, which is on fire in the American church. And you know what my prayer is this morning? My prayer is that we see that it is essential. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church and said, "Never be lacking in zeal, but in spiritual fervor serve the Lord." We're going to talk about what that means. We're going to talk about the dangers of being indifferent. We are indifferent. And if we are indifferent, as the American church for the main part, I believe, is, number one, we neglect to serve. We neglect to serve. You know the hardest thing to get people to do in the church? This is the truth. I've been doing this almost 20 years. You know what the hardest thing to get people to do? Serve. Serve. Now the term Christian and service ought to go hand in hand. But I have found this for the most part in my time that I've been in the American church and been a leader in the American church. I have found this, that it's sometimes like pulling teeth to get people to serve the Lord who gave His life for them on a cross because He desired to love them and to show Him His love to that degree. And we say we love Jesus. And we prove that by sitting in a chair in an air conditioner building being entertained by Christian entertainers. If your Christian life is not marked with service, it's not a Christian life. If your Christian life is not marked with service, it's not a Christian life. And I promise you this, if you're not fired up with that spiritual fervor, you're going to have a hard time serving because indifference keeps us from serving. Indifference is this attitude. Well, yeah, I realize there are people on the cleaning crew. But I just don't feel like I'm called by God to be on the cleaning crew. Let me tell you something. If you got time, you're called by God to be on the cleaning crew. You don't have to wait for you to be driving down the road one day and God to write in the sky, "Come be a part of the Key Life Cleaning Ministry." Let me say something, folks. Understand this. These people who are sold out and wholeheartedly serving God on things like the cleaning crew at this church. You know what we're not? We're not a church who goes out and says we're going to hire a cleaning crew. You know why? Look around you. How many of the people next to you are toilet scrubbing eligible? And I know the first thing you want to do, if you're not real associated with me and you don't know who I am, your thought is this: "Well, preacher, do you clean up anything around there?" Yes, I do. I promise you this, I don't mind working hard. Sometimes it's good to get away from what I do and to work hard. Yeah, I know what I'm saying. I work hard at what I do, but what I do really ain't hard labor, but I don't mind doing it. So I say to you, how can you take the word Christian that is synonymous with service and use it in your life and feel good about it when you're not serving God? Let me tell you this. Coming into this building and listening to a message that ought to inspire you to serve is not service. I got so tired of that, man. I'd be in church and they'd say, well, they're out of service. What? I had to get translation for all this stuff. What does that mean? Well, it means they're not coming to church regularly. I know that's a hard word for me to say, but you get the picture. Regularity. They're not coming to church all the time, so they're out of service. No, they're just missing church. Because I really don't know what they're doing out in the world as far as service is concerned, so I'm sure not going to dub them out of service. Because I've been in the church before and been out of service. Didn't miss a service and still been out of service. So here's what I don't want you to fall in the trap of doing that the American church has fallen into the trap of doing is this. I'm serving the Lord because you and your family got up today in your nice air-conditioned home. You put on your nice optional clothes. You ate your nice breakfast. You got in your nice little air-conditioned car. You drove here. It took you about 15 minutes. You walked in a nice air-conditioned building. You sat down in nice, comfortable, and those are very comfortable. We got the extra foam padding. Nice, comfortable chairs. I don't want you to leave here thinking today that because you did that, you served the Lord. Because that's not serving the Lord. What that is, Lord, I want to go there to hear about how I can serve you more effectively. That's what we're here to do today. We're here to charge one another's battery and to spur each other along and to encourage one another to go out and to serve the Lord. Or some of you, like I said, there's a cleaning crew who serves the Lord every week. There's a lawn crew. Did y'all know this, man? This is the craziest thing. Some people think angels come in and they sweep all this every week. They do. So I want to tell you this. Here's some service you can do. Serve the people who serve this morning. If you blow snot into a Kleenex, take it out with you and put it in the trash can. Do you know there's somebody who comes by every week and picks up snotty tissues for Jesus? As an act of service. Here's the thing. There's people who, you think the grass weed eats itself? You guys who do that, thank you. Ladies, there's some ladies on the crew too now. I got to be careful, right? Some ladies on the crew who like to just get out there with a weed eater and tear things up. Good job. I'm excited about that. I'm excited when people say, hey, they've been here for 3 weeks and say, how can I get on the lawn crew? How can I get on the clean crew? You know what that tells me? That's a potential leader in the church down the road because they're willing to serve. Here's the thing. If we're not at that boiling point, we're not full of zeal, spiritual fervor, we're indifferent, it's going to affect our service. We're not going to be passionate about serving God. We're not going to be passionate about serving others because did you know that? Those two go hand in hand. How many of you understand that? Not only am I here to serve God, I'm also here to serve each of you. That's my position. And if I don't give you an example of service, I'm not doing my job. So I'm here to serve you. We're here to serve each other, and we're ultimately here to bring God glory in the service that we do, ultimately, for Him. So when you're indifferent, let's be honest. You don't serve, do you? Beep, beep, beep. When we're indifferent, we don't care because things are getting done. I'll tell you what, the American church, we already talked about, you need to wake up to the fact that we've forgotten what service is really all about. Because we've become so indifferent. Y'all check this out. Y'all don't believe me, but this is the truth. There are churches who pay their musicians to come and to play. They don't care if they played last night at Billy Bob's in Fort Worth. Don't act like y'all don't know what that is. They don't care if they played last night at Billy Bob's in Fort Worth. They don't even care if they're a believer. They'll pay them good money. Just come on, play in our band so we'll be better and we'll draw more crowds and we'll sound more professional. Let me tell you something. The day any of the leadership here tells me that's what I'm going to have to do, that's the day I'm probably done here. Guess what else they do? They pay nursery workers. They pay people to serve God in the nursery. Folks, that's service. Everybody understand that? Do you realize that's what we're all here to do? Our question today ought to be, Lord, what can I do for you because you've done so much for me that I don't deserve? Lord, I know I can never repay that, but what can I do to serve you, to serve your people, to serve your kingdom, and bring you glory? Hey, it may be you get to scrub the urinal. Let me tell you something. Every time, and I'll tell you this, can I just be real with y'all? Just this last week, y'all get scared when I say that to my wife, because she's like, oh no, what is he going to get real about? Here's what I did last week. Walked into Tuesday, I walked into this bathroom right here. Walked in there. I do not know how little boys do this. I don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. Everybody, can we agree with the universal sign of number two? There's some people in here already having heart attacks. The Episcopals are freaking out already. He's going to say poo. I'm not going to say poo. I'm going to say number two because it's a universal signal that we all know. Listen to me. This is where the rubber meets the road, folks. I'm not just joking around. I walked in there, went to that first stall. I don't know how. But in some young man's effort to wipe down south, he decided to write his name on the toilet seat. Now, it really wasn't his name, but he was creative. I don't know how it happens. It happens often with little boys. I don't get it. I think they're in a hurry. I don't know. Maybe it was like his first time away from mom. Mom's been doing this all the time. It's like, I'm a big boy now. I can wipe. Listen, brother, if you're in here, you can't. Go back to mom. Go back to mom and ask for some retraining. Is it really this far along in today's time together? Those guys singing took way too long. I'll hurry. I said all that to say this. I saw it. I was disgusted, as we should be. I smelt it before I saw it. I turn around and walk out, and I'm telling you, God said to me just like this. Kirk Hall, if you won't clean that toilet, you won't do a thing for me. If you won't clean that toilet, you won't do a thing for me. Listen, I promise, I got to the point of decision. Well, maybe I've done enough already, Lord, and I'm just going to retire. Because here's the thing, I don't know whose poo-poo that is. It's different when it's your own kids, right? You feel like you kind of got ownership in that. I said, okay, Lord. And I guarantee you, because the Lord led me to, I wiped the poo off the toilet seat. You say, why do you tell the stories about poo? Listen to me. That poo is nothing in comparison to the filth that Jesus died for in my life. That poo is nothing compared to the filth that Kirk Hall brought before a holy God that caused me to be alienated from Him. And Jesus Christ loved me so much that He cleaned up my filth by dying for me on a cross. How could I walk out of a restroom and not scrub a toilet for Him? You say, man, do you really believe that? Yeah, I got the latex gloves in that trash can to prove to you I believe it. Well, if you really would have trusted God, you wouldn't have used latex. He says, live according to the measure of faith you've been given. Isn't that what he says? Moving right along, if we're indifferent, we neglect to serve. That spiritual fervor, that fire in us, is not there to propel us to scrub the toilet, to propel us to walk across the street and share the gospel with that neighbor who's lost and undone, to propel us to help that person who's in need, who's lost their source of income, lost their spouse, lost a family member. Indifference keeps us from serving. Number two, if we're indifferent, we give evil room to prosper. You think that hadn't happened in our country? As the church grows more and more indifferent, evil is prospering all around us. Because you see things on the news, and you may not say it with your mouth, you say it with your life. I don't care. It's not affecting me. It's just a matter of time. And it will. It's just a matter of time. If you continue in your indifference, everything that you are seeing on the news is affecting or going to affect us. You think radical Islam is not going to affect the U.S.? It already is. Pull your head out of the sand, recognize it for what it is, and pray that God would give you fire to pray for these people, to pray for the leaders of our country, to stop these people, to pray for whatever you can do in your Christian life to make a stand, like we talked about last week, against such things. We sit back and, well, it doesn't bother us. It doesn't bother you because yesterday, your daughter's wedding didn't get blown up by a crazy person. Anybody watch the news? happened yesterday in Turkey, a wedding celebration, should be second to salvation in life, the most joyous day that a person could have. Because we are indifferent about everything, these things continue to happen. They're going to happen here. Coming to a theater near you, I assure you, unless the American church stands up and says, we're not going to be indifferent towards evil anymore. We're not going to be indifferent. Because we know this, our morale is everything. Did you know low morale is the greatest discourager? Greatest discourager. You watch a football team. You can watch a good football team, since y'all are all fired up about football right now. You can watch a good football team who ought to win the game. When that other team who shouldn't have won the game gets about three touchdowns on them and their morale goes, they're done. We've seen it time and time and time again. That's why it's important that you jump on them and you stay on them, right? Our coaches used to say knock them down and stand on their throat. Why? Because it defeats their morale. Let me tell you something. The enemy has defeated the American church's morale with a thing called indifference. You have no spiritual fervor. We're lacking in zeal. Just as Paul said, don't be. And he was writing to a church, listen, not a church like ours where we're all nice and groomed and sitting in the air-conditioned building. He was writing to a church that was facing utter persecution. And he told them, even if it costs you your life, even if people come in here and they arrest you or they kill you, don't stop being excited about Jesus. Don't stop having zeal and fire for Him. And do you really think that if the heat was turned up on us, the people who can't even live for Him, do you think we'd really die for Him? Come on, people. You're allowing the enemy to deceive you and you're deceiving yourself. Said, never be lacking in zeal, because if we're indifferent, we leave room for evil to prosper. Low morale is ignited by your indifference. You know what I want to see? I talked to men this morning. You know what I want to see? I told them, expect God to do good things today. And I understand this. You know what? I'm part cheerleader. That's my job. I'm the one who's going to encourage and rally the troops here, and that's what I'm going to do. Get out of my way. We're going to do it. Expect God to do something great in the Porter New Caney community. Stop saying, well, it's too far gone and people are too messed up and I just don't know if there's any hope. Then you really don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. Because if you believe in the Jesus of the Bible, you know there's always hope and you know there's always a way and you know that He can bring victory over sin and He can cause those people who are wrapped up in a lifestyle of addiction and abuse, He can cause them to come out of darkness and into light. If you know Him, you know I'm telling the truth. But if we continue to be indifferent, evil prospers. It's time we get excited about Jesus again. It's time we hear terms like He's on fire for the Lord. Remember when you used to hear that? Been a long time, hadn't it? Oh, He's on fire. She's on fire. They're on fire. Let me tell you, I pray, Lord, ignite this place with Your fire. Every teenage student, send them back to school tomorrow with the fire of the Holy Ghost in them to preach and to live the gospel before their friends. Every teacher who's here tomorrow who's going to get that student who needs the love of Christ, ignite them with Your fire. Every worker here today who has that lost friend, fire him up. It's time we don't shy away from these terms. Paul said, boil. Boil. You know what happens if you're not boiling? You've got to turn the heat up. I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would turn the heat up. That you would get so sick and tired of your indifference that you won't settle for it anymore. Get on your face before God and say, God, light me up. God, change me. Set me on fire. Number three, we've seen if we're indifferent, we neglect to serve. If we're indifferent, we give room for evil to prosper. Lastly, number three, if we're indifferent, we fail to put God's fire and passion on display in our lives. He says, is that important? It's very important. Do you know how people see the fire and the power of God? Through you. Through me. And we'll tell a young preacher, don't be so fired up. Come on, people. Don't be so fired up. No, man, stay fired up. I want to see you fired up before I see you knowing a whole bunch of stuff. Because here's the thing, it's easy to teach you, right? But the fire of the Holy Spirit, that spiritual unction that Paul's talking about, that fervor, you can't teach that. That's a supernatural thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If you've been in church for a while, you've sat in sermons that were not fired and ignited by the Holy Spirit. Oh, they were good sermons if somebody else would have preached them. Just be honest. We've all been there. You say, man, that guy behind the pulpit, he ain't real fiery, and he, man, I don't know that he believes what he says. I know that he's got a pretty nice outline. He's a pretty eloquent speaker. And unfortunately, we've exchanged eloquence for fire. I'll tell you something, folks. When the American church gets fired up is when the American church is going to be what Jesus Christ died for the American church to be. When you get fired up. When everything about you is Jesus and His kingdom and Him crucified and how can I bring God glory? That's when you're going to see the church on fire. You're not going to see the church on fire because when people come in, you make them comfortable. Let me tell you right now, if you're a Christian here today and you are not boiling with spiritual fervor, I hope you're uncomfortable right now. I hope you're just like I was when I used to hear old preachers get up. Usually they'd limp up because they were so old. Get up on stage and talk about spiritual fervor and fire. You don't hear about it anymore. You hear about how you can live a stress-free life in a stress-free world. Listen, I promise you this. If you're fired up about Jesus, stress is behind you and the cross is before you. All that junk doesn't really matter. You know it's temporal and one day it's going to be over because of what Jesus has done. We're indifferent. The world doesn't see a difference in us, do they? I'm telling you right now, there are people out in this community who need to be set free from their sin. And you know why they're not being set free? Because you are indifferent toward them. You're not loving them like Jesus loved them. Why? Because He said you're not going to love and serve without that spiritual fervor. It's not going to happen. I would encourage you, if you find yourself in that position today, get on your face before God. I'm not saying this to beat you up. I'm saying this so that God can receive praise and honor and glory through your life as you are put on display as a representation of His fire, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of you. In church, it's time we get fired up. It's time that we say, Holy Spirit, ignite us once again in order that we might bring praise to God, in order that others might see God's holy work of fire in us, to see that spiritual fervor. You know what I hope? I hope the lost world thinks I'm absolutely, positively, out of my mind crazy for Jesus. I hope they do. I hope that they can't figure me out because the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. It's a compliment when they look at me and they say, I don't know about you. Well, I know you don't know about me, but let me tell you about someone who you can know about today. His name's Jesus, and let me tell you what He did for you. I promise you, this we're never going to affect our community. If it's about us coming in air-conditioned buildings, hearing little sermonettes preached by preacherettes, or pulpitettes. There's enough of that going around. It'd be fun just to come in here every now and just make you feel good. You know what makes me feel good? When I continually live in the realization that there is nothing good about me, but in Christ, God has perfected me in His own eyes. That makes me feel good. To know that I have nothing to offer God, but yet He gives me another breath that I may give it as an offering to Him. That He gives me health that I may go out and serve others. Where are you? Are you a part of the indifferent American church who needs to be fired up? I pray today you get fired up. If you're part of the American church today and you're not wanting to jump out of your seat right now, something's dreadfully wrong with you. What do we do? Number one, be honest where you are. Be honest about where you are. If you're indifferent, it's time you admit it. Listen, here's the cool thing. You don't have to admit it to me. I'm just a messenger. I'm just relaying a message to you today from the Word of God. That's it. You owe me nothing. But let me tell you this. You owe Jesus Christ everything. everything. So I'm telling you right now, if you're indifferent today, you're not giving Him everything. So it's time to settle up this morning. It's time to settle up and say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm indifferent. I'm admitting that to You. I am indifferent. And I know this, there was a time in my life where I wasn't indifferent. Because some of you have been at that point in your life where you were fired up about Jesus. And you honestly have to say today, Lord, I'm not there right now. But let me tell you this, you can be. You can be. The same God who saved you, forgave you of all your sin, put the Holy Spirit inside you, will fire you up today. But you've got to be honest about where you really are. Don't pretend to be fired up when you're not. That's what happens to the charismatics, unfortunately. I've preached in those churches where they were so dead while they were pretending to be alive, and they weren't fooling a soul. It was just a game. Let me tell you this, I don't want to be one of those places. And I don't want to be one of those places that it looks dead. We pretend like we're alive. Because you're not fooling anybody. The first fired up Christian who comes in there with that spiritual fervor realizes this. This place is a graveyard. And I've preached in many of those. So you ask yourself where you fit in today. Be honest. Number two, not only be honest, be heartbroken. Be heartbroken if you've lost your spiritual fervor. That fire that you once had. That passion that you once had for Jesus Christ, for His kingdom, for those who are lost and on their way to hell. Pray today that God would reignite that fire in you. But you got to get honest. You got to be heartbroken. Shouldn't it break our heart? Shouldn't it? I mean, let's just talk for a second. Can I talk to the older generation here? I won't define you because you get upset when I do that, but if you're the older generation, y'all remember a time where a preacher would get in the pulpit and talk about the fire of God. The Holy Spirit would ignite folks to go out and to be and to do what the gospel of Jesus Christ commands them to be and to do. Let me tell you, that same message is applicable here today according to what the Apostle Paul just wrote. But I want you to be heartbroken. Because you know what? None of us are above becoming indifferent, becoming idle, becoming lackadaisical, lazy, all those words we can use to describe what we become in the American church. But it all comes because we stop depending on the One who ignites our fire. And today I pray that You would admit that to Him, Lord. I admit to You that I've not been depending upon You. And God, I depend on You to reignite that flame in me today, that I'll be the husband that You've called me to be, that I'll be the father that You've called me to be, those school teachers that I talked about, I'll be that teacher, those people who are here going on a construction site tomorrow, wherever you may find yourself, Lord, I want to be on fire for You no matter where I am. Because you know what's interesting about this? The guy who writes, never be lacking in zeal and spiritual fervor, wrote most everything that he wrote from prison, where he was wrongfully accused and wrongfully abused for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he says, even in this, I'm going to keep my fire. It's easy to keep our fire when everything's going the American dream. But what happens when it's all gone, folks? It gets eerie, doesn't it, when we say that? You know, the Scripture never promises you that you'll have the American dream all your days. Scripture does promise you that if you live a godly life, you will face persecution. Paul says, face that persecution with zeal and excitement for the Lord and with fervor and fire from the Spirit. Be honest. Be heartbroken. Repent of your indifference. And then lastly, ask God to rekindle the spiritual fire that once burned inside of you. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? American church, it is time, it's past time for you to get fired up. For you to say, Lord, ignite a fire in me that I may serve You and bring attention to Your name and Your kingdom and bring You praise, honor, and glory. You're here today and you say, Kurt, I don't know that I'm truly a Christian. I've never had the fire of God in me. I've never experienced what it's like to be saved and forgiven of my sin. But today when you spoke, I felt God pulling at my heart inside, telling me that I needed to surrender my life to Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. You're here today, every head bowed and every eye closed, and you say, I need Jesus to save me today, Kurt. I want to confess Him as my Lord and Savior and turn and repent of my life of sin. You say, that's me. Would you slip up your hand right now? You say, that's me. I need Jesus to save me this morning, Kurt. I don't know that if today my life ended, what eternity has in store for me. But I know that God is telling me to trust Him today as my Savior, to trust Him to forgive me of my sin. Anyone like that who says, I need Jesus to save me, slip your hand up. This will be the greatest thing that has ever happened in your life. I need Jesus to save me. Anyone here? You're here today. Say, Kirk, I know I'm a Christian. And I have to be honest this morning. I would fall in the category of indifferent. All there once was a fire. But I let circumstance and I let selfishness and I let all those things that creep in. Sin. I let those things be agents to put out the fire in my life. And I want to repent of my indifference this morning. I want to get on my face before a God who loves me so much and who commands me to never be lacking in spiritual fervor and fire. And today I want to ask Jesus Christ through His Holy Spirit to reignite His fire in my life. You say, that's me. I'm going to ask you to do something courageous. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to humble yourself before God's throne. The altars are open. You allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. That means come to this altar, kneel before the Father and say, Lord, I'm here and I'm humbling myself. And I'm admitting to You that my spiritual fire is out and that I'm indifferent. Lord, I need You to ignite my fire. Holy Spirit, we pray that You would have Your way in the lives of all Your people as You move, as You change them right now for Your glory and for Your honor. If you need prayer, there's folks down front to pray with you. Take your burdens to the throne. You need Jesus to save you this morning and you didn't raise your hand, it's not too late. These people down front are ready and willing to talk to you about what it means to have a true relationship with the God of the universe through Jesus Christ.
Anything that is not